welcome to worship on this frigid Sunday morning. I guess it's safe to say that winter has finally come to Malmo. Our call to worship today is a song called We Welcome You, and it just welcomes God into our worship today and reminds us why we are here. So please sing along.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome you also. I was ready to announce that we were going to begin building next summer Bethesda Acres, 24 units of apartments and assisted living. And that was just the beginning, because one of you was going to donate your winnings. But we'll have to wait till next week to make that announcement, okay? Remember that. At least first $10 million goes to that place, okay? And no one's getting away, because I'll hound you to your last moment. I had this vision that we were going to put up an assisted living place and apartments and just charge the basic minimum, whatever it costs for us, but everyone had to work. The women who quilt would quilt, the gals who craft would craft, the guys would garden and maple syrup and cut firewood, and we all worked. I mean, we all did something nice. And then we'd do that a little bit every day, and then we'd play every day. And people who were members of the church just paid the very minimum. And we had the penthouse apartments. And the rest who would like to stay there, we'd charge a little bit more for them. But that's just me. John, don't lose these thoughts, okay? Men are going fishing tomorrow morning. We're going to leave here at 6 o'clock, so get here a little early if you're coming. Just to let you know, when the men go fishing, it's not about the fish, it's about the bologna. But there's not going to be any Wednesday morning Bible studies, so please, ladies, you could lead one on your own, but I won't be here to lead one that day. Directories, phone directories are available in the fellowship hall. Your IRS statements are available there. Your offering envelopes are available there, so make sure and stop at those boxes. Lenten services. Our worship and music committee wanted me to take a little hand poll. The idea was, usually we have 5:30 potluck, which are wonderful potlucks. Don't ever forget that, John, okay? We announce here that this is for the Lord, so don't just bring your leftovers. Bring your very best offerings to the Lord. And usually it's at 5:30 and then 6:30 worship. Through the past years, I've heard more and more people say they don't like traveling at night and in the dark and so forth. So I thought maybe we should offer a noon study or potluck at 11:30 and worship at 12:30 for Lent. I've talked to four of the young couples. They've seemed to lean toward the noon service, so it doesn't bother them, the ones, I was going to say the ones who work. I know you all work, but the ones who are gainfully employed. So if we were to offer Lenten services, how many would prefer a noon Lenten service? Please raise your hand. How many would prefer an evening service? Please raise your hand. Okay. Looks like evening would...
Just bring jello for the pastor.
But not green jello with cottage cheese. Someone did that at the last one. Oh, man. Oh, well. Anyway, okay. It seems like you'd like to continue with that. Yes, Skip. Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. Well, it seems like the leading, there were probably 3/4 of the people that raised their hands wanted the evening service. So Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, February 10th, so we will let you know. But the Worship and Music Committee wanted to know that. Today we start a new season of the church year, Epiphany. Epiphany's lessons always talk about following Jesus. And you know what an epiphany is? Oh. An epiphany is having an aha moment. And the aha moment is that, aha, God loves me. Aha, he cares for me. He forgives me. Aha, Chuck, there is a God who loves us. And so it's an amazing aha moment that the God of the universe would love me. And so the next weeks, they're all aha moments. And today we're going to talk about Jesus' baptism. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we gather on this cold January morning, but we are warmed by your love and by the love of our neighbors here in Malmo. How blessed we are to live here. How blessed we are to know of your love for us and the forgiveness that comes and the joy and the peace that comes in following you. How blessed we are to know that you became human in the person of Jesus to teach us and to give us a way to live a joyful, peaceful life. So bless us this morning. Open our eyes and open our hearts to the wonders of your word. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
With your kings of God, in the book 646.
Thank you.
let's turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us.
Amen.
Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together, mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
We thought as we start out a new year here at church, would be reminded of what we believe as Christians. So our anthem, We Believe, which is a song from, that the Newsboys do, and then our closing song, I Believe, both summarize our faith, and the words should be familiar to you. We believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, who's given us new life, we believe in the crucifixion, we believe that he conquered death, we believe in the resurrection and that he's coming back again. So that's just a summary of our faith.
We believe in God.
first lesson this morning comes from the 8th chapter of Acts. Peter and John are sent to support the new Christians in Samaria, a group that was recently baptized after hearing the good news of Christ through the preaching of Philip. Here the Samaritans receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the laying on of hands. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here ends the first lesson. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 29. Let's read it responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory to you, God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of the holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of thunder.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon straight like a cat, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Please rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. Our gospel lesson for this Epiphany Sunday is found in the 3rd chapter of St. Luke. The reading opens with questions about the identity of the Messiah. John the Baptist insists that he's not the Messiah. Instead, he points ahead to one who is coming. And whether the voice of God was heard by all or only by Jesus, God settles the matter. Jesus is God's beloved Son. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we celebrate baptism. In baptism, God claims us to be his children. There once was a time, in fact, probably still is, times when we do a baptism to please our grandmother or grandfather. Or maybe people gather for baptism as a ceremony so that this newborn baby can put on some garment from some long-lost ancestor. I suppose a third of you have pictures of little babies in these long gowns. I do. And then it's an opportunity to gather the family together for some kind of a open house. Or in some families, when they think about baptism, they think that it's kind of like a life insurance policy. In case this baby dies, they're going to heaven. You know, so we got to hedge our bets, get this baby baptized really quickly. To be baptized, though, is to become prepared for life. That's what baptism really is. Baptism has to be lived. Each day, Martin Luther tells us, the old sinful self, the selfish person, dies, and the new person in Christ rises. We're a new person in Christ when we live our baptism. We see the world differently when we put on the garment of Christ, the essence of Christ, when we immerse ourselves in the teachings of Christ. So today's story from Luke's Gospel tells us really an unforgettable baptism story. It's the baptism of Jesus. We return to it year after year after year at the same time so we don't forget. Why? Because it partially defines what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a member of the church. Every one of us who is a member of the church has been baptized. It's one of the indispensable rites of every Christian congregation. We are baptized. So our Lord is baptized by John in the wilderness. And in doing so, Christ sets a precedent for every person who would follow him, who wants to follow his teachings. We were baptized because Jesus was baptized. Being baptized doesn't mean that you're perfect. Not at all. Being baptized doesn't mean that we've got our lives all together. Being baptized doesn't even mean that our theology is all worked out. In fact, our theology is always being worked out and in a stage of growth. Being baptized simply means that we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, as someone we want to follow his teachings, huh? That we've committed ourselves to walk in his footsteps as God grants us his grace. We're going to do the best job we can to be like Jesus. So, we've heard the basic story of Christ's baptism. All four Gospels, Gospel writers talk about this momentous occasion, which is really Christ's coronation into his earthly ministry. It's the beginning of his ministry. He's about 30 years old. Luke's version that we read today is more condensed than the other Gospel writers. He begins with a brief description of John the Baptist's ministry. Luke tells us that the people were waiting expectantly, were all wondering if their hearts, if John was the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was going to lead the people Israel to freedom from Rome and freedom from life. John answers them like this: I baptize you with water, but one who's more powerful than I will come, straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whatever that means. Luke tells about Jesus' baptism a few verses later. He writes, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as Jesus was praying, heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. I would have loved to have been there that day. Have any of you been to the River Jordan where the gospel writer John says he was baptized? Anyone that been there? A few of you? I was there in late August. Just a little mud hole. A muddy, muddy creek. Nowadays, they took big bulldozers like Jeff's doing over here and digging out big ponds. And they put in some nice cement works and some nice parkade work. And big bus loads of people go there for baptism or to carry holy water or whatever. You might as well go down to the creek here. Anyway, it was just a little creek, and they're baptizing people. Anyway, I would love to have been there when Jesus was baptized and to see how they describe it as a dove descending and how the voice of God is heard. I'd love to have been there. But Jesus is baptized and he's praying and the heavens are open and the Holy Spirit descends on him and they hear the word of God, you are my son, whom I love, and I'm pleased with you. I love you. This event is important to Christians for a number of reasons. I want to remind you of those reasons today. First of all, when we think of the Creator, this great mystery we call God. It reminds us of Christ's humility. Huh? It's an amazing truth, really, that Christ humbled himself and was baptized by a mere mortal, John, on our behalf. Huh? Whereas you and I, we'd be tempted to take on the perks of being God. I mean, 1.3 billion isn't much. I mean, but we think that's a perk. Jesus was God, the Son of God. I wouldn't be coming human and being baptized. For God to become human, to teach us who he is, to experience what we experience, tells me about his humility. Christ humbles himself and became a servant. Christ humbles himself and forgives and doesn't claim rights. Christ humbled himself. God humbled himself and became Christ, became human. Maybe one of the greatest examples of humility, being a servant, would be to look at the life of St. Francis of Assisi. Lived around 1250 A.D. He had that kind of humility of Christ. St. Francis wanted to be as much like Christ as possible. The day he converted, he was from a wealthy family. He took off all his clothes, left them at the door, knocked, and says, "I'm becoming a Christian. I came in this world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing, and I'm going to serve God." So he just turned over his whole life to Jesus. There's a story that's known as the Legend of Perugia. It's a very revealing example of Francis's humility. Hidden in the description of Francis's practice of traveling and preaching in churches is this wonderful line concerning St. Francis. Just one sentence in this legend. The sentence is this: "He brought along a broom to clean the churches." He brought along a broom to clean the churches. St. Francis of Assisi. Maybe one of the most wonderful things that I ever heard said about me, and I hate even, I'm like you, Dale, you don't like to blow your own horn. But someone told me when I first moved to this, came to this church, "Pastor, you're the first pastor I've ever seen that knows how to use a shovel." Because I was shoveling the walk out there. Now, I don't know what other pastors do, but that really meant a lot to me. It still does. It's something so simple. But Francis was known to clean the churches with a broom. There's a lot written nowadays about servant leadership. There's no better example of servant leadership than to look at the life of Francis of Assisi. Of course, Francis was simply seeking to emulate his Lord, to be like Jesus. And so when you look at this story of Jesus' baptism, you see Christ's humility, but we're also introduced to the idea of his divinity. It's surely no accident that the story of Christ's baptism is one of the few occasions in Scripture where all three persons of the Trinity are mentioned, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that may not get you all that excited. After all, the word Trinity doesn't even appear once in the Scriptures. There's no such concept of Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It wasn't formulated in the church until a few hundred years later, after his resurrection. And yet here, at Christ's baptism, all three persons of the Godhead are present. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, the Son, in bodily form like a dove. And then the Father God expresses his love and his approval for Jesus, his Son. You know, that might seem like trivia or a boring kind of statistics, but this is vitally important. The doctrine of the Trinity cemented the idea in the mind of Christians that when we look at Jesus, we're looking at an accurate picture of the character of God. If you want to know who Jesus is, just read the Gospels and you'll find out who God is by looking at Jesus. Huh? While remaining a human being, here we have the mirror image of God. When people ask us what God's like, all we have to do is point them to Jesus. God's like this carpenter from Nazareth. That's what we testify. God's loving and forgiving and accepting in the same way that Jesus is loving and forgiving and accepting. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Now that's too big of a leap of faith for some people to take, and I guess I can understand that, but where else do you look to determine God's nature? Do you look to nature? I've heard people say, I can find God in nature. Maybe you've said that. Nature is grand. Nature is beautiful. Nature sometimes leaves us breathless. The sun sets and the sun rises on this lake. Just breathless. But nature is also terrifying and cruel and unforgiving. Let's go down and see the flooding that they're having in Missouri or Texas now. Go and see The Revenant, that movie. You think nature is wonderful and beautiful? Boy, that'll turn your crank the other way. Where do you look to find a God worth worshiping? You can look to nature to show us a God of grandeur and a God of might, but you can't find in nature a God of perfect and complete love out there, because it's harsh and cruel some days. And neither can you look at other great religions to show a God like that, a God of love and a perfect completeness. Those religions are helpful to those who follow them, I know, but none of them speak of a God whose very nature is love. Only within the pages of the New Testament can you find a God of love. That's one reason the story of Jesus' baptism is so important. It shows us Christ's humility, but it also shows us his connection to divinity, to God, the great mystery. It's one of the few occasions in Scripture where all three persons in the Trinity are mentioned, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus' baptism tells us that I can look at the perfect picture of the Father's wondrous love. That's another thing this baptism does. That brings us to the final thing be said about Christ's baptism. It helps us to understand our identity, our real identity. Christ's baptism was the beginning of his earthly ministry. He was about 30 years of age. What had he been doing up to then? Well, probably working in his father's carpentry shop. He must have died in the past because all of a sudden Joseph disappeared. He probably finished being the oldest son, raising his younger brothers and sisters, and there's evidence that he had younger brothers and sisters. The only other time we hear about Jesus was a lesson we had a couple weeks ago when he was 12. He was found teaching and listening in the temple. It was an amazing experience. But after he's baptized here, and while he's praying, the heavens open up, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and the voice comes from heaven, "This, you are my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." As you study this, if you study it and you read what theologians say about it, there's been always a constant discussion. Was Jesus conscious of his own divinity when he was young? Or was this the beginning where he finally understood that he had a mission to complete? Could he understand what we go through as human beings if in the back of his mind he knew that he was God? That's one of the theological questions. Or was he just pretending to be human because he knew he was God? Then how could the Bible say that he was tempted every way that you and I are? That's the theological discussion. A more likely scenario is that his consciousness of his role as an anointed one of God was an emerging one. And here is the first stage of development at the baptism, when he hears the voice of God saying, "You're my son." Oh, maybe that's why I've been living all these things and learning all these things. So theologians have been discussing this through the ages. Regardless of what it means to Christ, it certainly is true for his followers that at our baptism, we receive our identity. In some traditions, a person receives his name when they're baptized. While we don't receive our name at baptism, we most certainly receive our identity. Baptism tells us that we are children of God. We are children of the Creator. We are children of the great mystery, the divine, the unspoken name of who we conceive as Creator. Baptism tells us we're children of God, and the way we honor that baptism is to follow the teachings of Jesus, to live in obedience to the will of God as best as we are able to. We immerse ourselves every moment of every day in the presence of His Spirit and following His teachings. Huh? One last thought. I've got a few missionary friends, Eddie Fox and George Morris. They were telling me that they had visited one of the lesser Fiji islands called Bao Island. While they were there, the chief of the Bao Island showed them the earliest Christian church that housed a large stone that had a small cleft in it. They used this stone to make sacrifices to their God before it became a Christian church. They would bash the heads of people and sacrifice them. This stone held a significant place in the ancient history of this people, of this island. But once the message of Jesus reached the people of Bao Island, this rock was employed in a new way. They used it to fill it with water and to baptize all the children that came forward that wanted to follow Jesus. Where once it was filled with blood, it was now filled with water for baptizing. People of Bao Island concluded that once they were baptized, their way of life needed to reflect that baptism. Our lives should reflect our baptism, the way we treat others, the way we live day in and day out, the way we speak, the way we treat our neighbors. In our baptism, we're given our identity. We're now children of God, the Creator, the Holy One, the great mystery. A few weeks ago, our friend Sam attends the University of Arizona. Hanson. Good-looking fella, 6'8", nice beard. I reminded him when he was here that he not only represents himself, he not only represents his family, he represents our church, the body of Christ. We are children of God. The way we act, the way we treat others, the way we live is a reflection on the body of Christ. Our words and our actions should reflect on this great truth. Just as Christ humbled himself in obedience to the will of God, so should we humble ourselves and give thanks to our Father. This is why every year during Epiphany we revisit the event of Christ's baptism. Because here we see Christ's humility. Here we see his divinity. Here we're reminded of who we are. We're his body at work in the world today. We're reminding the world that it's loved by the Creator of the universe. We are the children of God, you and I. And that's how we're supposed to live. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. We'll invite the praise team to lead us in Breathe.
This is the
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Giving thanks for the gift of baptism and the gifts of grace in the world, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For your church on earth, that your Spirit guides your children, unite us in our common call to live out your justice and stand with our siblings of every faith community. Lord, in your mercy. For this world which you redeemed, that the powerful in all nations foster its health and care for all its creatures. Lord, in your mercy. Give your people of every land the tools and strength to care for one another. Give passion to strive for justice to your people. Bless all countries with the courage to follow what is wise and good. Lord, in your mercy. Lift up the poor and oppressed. Ease the troubled minds and hearts of those in turmoil. And surround those who are ill with the comforts of good medicine and good friends, signs of your healing. We pray especially for Bill and Ron and Carol and Dean. Be with Darlene as she goes for surgery this week. Be with those in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Guide those preparing for baptism, their sponsors, and this assembly, so that we all live into the promises made in baptism. Lead us all to Scripture, the Holy Supper, and toward justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for your many blessings, O Lord. Be with those who are packing their bags, readying themselves to head south. Keep them safe, especially with Patty and Smokey as they leave again this week. Be with the men who will travel this week to the Lake of the Woods. Grant us safe passage. Fill us with joy and love for one another, that we might enjoy your creation. And Lord, we'd ask that you keep our loved ones close. Send your holy angels to protect them, keep them in the warmth of your love. We give you thanks for the lives of the faithful departed and for the assurance of the same resurrection by our baptism into Christ's death. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all of your beloved for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
your hearts before the Lord and receive his blessing. Now may God Almighty send you light and truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you. The holy angels accompany you. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Closing hymn is I Believe.
I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it, truly I believe it, truly I believe it.
Right on the volume.
No, that's right.
We got to hear it for once.
I know, that's just it. And then, you know, and the thing is,